far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
it's our belated Easter special where we review Crystal Triangle.
Since we've recorded anything.
Yeah, what was the last thing we recorded?
I guess it was Gundam the Origin, the OVA.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, like, what, early March?
I don't know. I guess so. Even Mason has aired that by now.
Well, yeah, because we made him air it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I've been having computer woes.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, yeah. I mean, I...
Did you ever get the new graphics card that you needed to replace?
No, I need to call Newegg today and then get it in for a refund or something. I mean, basically what's happened is the fact that, like, I've spent a good portion of my student refund money into this computer.
Mm-hmm.
That, if you're hearing fans in the background, it's coming from the two most powerful ones in this case. And,
Yeah, I don't hear anything.
Okay, wow, that's actually amazing. But, no, so I had a friend of mine, I just told him to build me a computer under $500, and he did. And then I took my laptop hard drive from my Toshiba and put it in there, and then it had driver conflicts because it had Toshiba stuff on it, and it wasn't compatible with, like, the motherboard that was in this. And so then we were like, okay, well, let's just clear all the Toshiba stuff. And then we still had the issue where, like, it'll still freeze up on that. So then I had to go out and buy a copy of Windows 7 and then do a reinstall on the laptop hard drive. Still had the same issue. And I thought, okay, well, it's a faulty hard drive, I guess. And then I had another hard drive that was like the same size and everything and popped that in there, put Windows 7 on it. Still had the same issue where it would lock up. And so then I thought it was like, well, I can't have two faulty hard drives. And I talked to tech people, and they're like, yeah, it sounds like it's a hard drive thing. And then it was interesting because I talked to people, and so, like, out of one problem, I got, like, eight different opinions on how to fix it. Because that's the joy of having a Windows computer. Like, a Windows computer is, like, one issue could be five different things. It's like a car. Well, it was so funny was the fact that I had this, like, really, like – I talked to the tech guy at my school, and, like, I think he basically ends his statement of, like, how he used to be in PC building. He's like, look, man, I got tired of this stuff, and look around my office. And his office had three Mac computers, as in a way of saying, forget Windows, join Mac. And I'm looking at him like, F you, dude.
I haven't used a Windows computer since XP. How does 7 work?
7, it's not exactly the same as XP, but however... 7 is the better of the programs. There's no support for XP anymore. Hasn't been in a couple years. And now they're talking about Windows 10. And because Windows 8 is such garbage, no one likes that. And people said the same thing about Vista. But Vista seems to work better than 8, it seems.
Yeah.
Vista was like hard, because, like, XP was so simple and it looked kind of pretty, but it gave you what you needed. And Vista was like, let's just add a bunch of stuff that we don't know if it's going to really work, but who cares? And then it's your job to figure it out. And, like, Vista, I used it for, like, 3 or 4 years and with my other laptops. And, I mean, I was able to use it, so. But it turns out it was the video card issue. Surprisingly enough, because I swapped out a video card that my brother had. And haven't had a lockup issue with it, so it's definitely that. But then also, I go on Newegg, and the card that I got for it, everyone complained about the exact same issue about it locking up their hard drive. And one guy said he got a replacement, and the replacement did the same thing. So I'm like, I'm just going to get a refund and get something else. So that seems to be the better option. Yeah, let's just take care of that this afternoon.
You're using your brother's card now, right?
Yeah, well, he got another one from a friend, the same friend, and they had it linked up through a Crossfire. Not the it has no relation to the board game where you shoot little metal balls at each other from the 90s, but it's like a bridge connector thing where like you can hook up two graphics card and they can work as one basically. And then I took out the other one that he got and popped it in here just to see if I'll have the same issue or replicate it, and it hasn't. So it's definitely a graphics card issue. So all signs point to that.
Okay.
So that's the joy of having a Windows computer, you know, John. Would you like to start back to Windows? You know, it's not as bad as it seems.
Yeah, I don't really miss it.
It's just the fact it's like, but I mean, like with gaming, I can do like, you know, computer gaming. Mac isn't so much. I mean, however, you've got Escape Velocity Nova games. So I heard those are really fun. I've played them back in the day too. But
yeah, there's not as many games that are available for Mac as PC. Isn't that what you kept trying to play games and then it worked for like an hour or two and then it would freeze up?
Well, it's essentially like if you can play games on it, there'd be no problem running a game on it. I think it's just the fact that like as long as it's doing something or it's not being overloaded, then it's okay. But then it gets to a certain point where it will just lock up. Like I think I was watching an episode of Space Ghost with my girlfriend over, and as soon as the video ended, it froze.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's such bullcrap. Oh,
I had some computer issues recently, too. My room, there was like a power surge in it, and the charger that my MacBook Air is attached to, like, fried, and it messed up the battery settings on the MacBook. And I had to buy a different charger, and the people I bought the MacBook from had to fix the battery settings. But that's all working now.
Oh, you're talking about the battery settings, like the internal like battery that's inside the computer that handles like the clock and everything like that?
Well, it was like not charging after the power surge, so I had to...
Oh, okay, this regular battery. Okay.
Yeah.
The thing with me about Apple computers is the fact if something breaks, I have to drive an hour to go to the nearest Apple store and have some quote-unquote expert look at it.
Yeah, well, all of our Apple computers, my parents and mine, are beyond the year where Apple will even bother to work on it.
Oh, you're way outside your warranty?
Yeah, so we've got this sort of like secondhand Apple store here called The Orchard that we go to, and that's where... Okay. We got some of our Apple computers that are a little cheaper there than at the Apple store. They're, like, refurbished, and they'll do repairs on them for us for cheaper than Apple will. And it's closer than the Apple store, so it's convenient.
It's kind of like going back to the days of, like, washing machine repair places and stuff. I mean, now with today's is computers because, like, anything that's hardware, like... that you can't just go out and buy a cheaper one. You might as well take it someplace to get it replaced. I mean, like, there's a TV repair place up the road from us. So, like, and if your TV breaks, I mean, granted, they're cheap enough to go out and get another one if you wanted to, but then you can just, like... It's one of those things that's like, you know, if it breaks and the cost of fixing it is more than getting something than upgrading, you might as well just upgrade.
Yeah. So. It's kind of that way with phones, too. Like, my phone... its battery was starting to mess up, so I just had to update to the newer iPhone. I mean, the iPhone in particular seems to be, like, it has, like, a really short life, I think, intentionally, yeah. So that they'll get you to upgrade it all the time.
I guess that's why people upgrade it every year, because they know their phone's only going to be good for a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the idea of, like, getting a phone that can last me 15 years. But then again, I'm not buying into the consumer thing where I'm not helping the economy that way or whatever. Like in the phone that I've got now, this HTC, whatever, HTC One, I think, I can't upgrade it past that until July 30th. And that sucker's been having like drainage issues on the battery. And like I've had to do a factory reset one time and it's still slow as balls. I swear at it all the time.
Yeah, I don't think Apple needs any economic help, really. I mean, they're doing pretty well. They've got a lot of money, and apparently they can afford to just boycott the entire state of Indiana because of this Religious Freedom Act.
Oh, I just don't even care about that. Is that something CG's really upset about? Because anything that's like against gay rights, he's like really upset about, even though it's not pertaining to him personally.
I don't think he's mentioned it, but it's probably only a matter of time before he does, because he has mentioned similar things, like when Mississippi did the same thing, and when Arizona was trying to do it, but then the governor vetoed it. And I mean, this is like an issue around the country, because there's always these stories about, Christians being forced to provide flowers or pizza or photographs or whatever for gay weddings, and then they don't want to do it, and then they get sued by the gay people who want their services. And so Indiana's just trying to set up this law as a way to provide these people like some sort of legal defense of the First Amendment, but apparently that's upsetting people, so...
That's pretty dumb. It's just, like, it doesn't... I just don't really, care. I mean, like, that's up to the state. I leave it up to the states to make the rules, and people are welcome to veto on it, which it seems like that's what they're doing more and more. So, like, it's a country run by its citizens, not the other way around. So, I mean...
Yeah, well, when Jan Brewer vetoed it here in Arizona, the reasoning was that I think she was tired of the state being boycotted all the time, because whenever the state tries to do anything on its own that pisses off other states, they decide to boycott Arizona. It's like something that happens at least once or twice every decade. They did it when Arizona hadn't added Martin Luther King Day yet in the 90s as a holiday, and they did it when Arizona passed the law that allows the police to, arrest illegal immigrants or whatever that people were all pissed off about.
Illegal immigrants, yeah.
And then there was the law that, there was another one that people were mad about. I guess it was just the religious discrimination thing, but then that didn't actually pass. I mean, it's just people are always looking for an excuse to boycott Arizona, it seems.
They just want to boycott something because their lives, I guess, don't have that much meaning.
I mean, did you see this thing about the pizza shop in Indiana that said they were not going to serve pizza at gay weddings? I mean, I don't know what gay wedding is going to have pizza catered anyway, because that doesn't seem like a wedding food. But they said that they weren't going to cater to gay weddings, and then the internet like went nuts and started sending them a bunch of death threats, and they've had to shut down their business now because of how pissed off all the gay rights people online are at them.
The thing is, people forget that like it's their business. They can run it however they want to. And is that the only pizza place in Indiana? I probably doubt it.
Yeah.
And pizza places will be glad to cater, so then go to them. And if anything, that pizza place probably sucks. So yeah. Just go to another pizza place that's good.
I mean, the thing is, usually nobody is going to know that you're gay if you're shopping there. Like, you just order a pizza. You don't have to say, oh, hey, pizza guy, by the way, I suck dicks. And, like, that's kind of, like, too personal to tell a pizza guy, in my opinion, but...
It's a service. You're in and out to get whatever you want. That's it. That's the purpose of a pizza place. I mean...
Right. Right. It's not some, like, something that you have to tell every pizza guy in order to piss them off so that you can sue them or whatever. It seems
Please
like people are just looking for trouble.
Because I'm telling you that I'm a homosexual or something. It's like, I couldn't care less. You paid us money to make something for you. You can have it. It's a service. The end.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't get why is that such a big deal? I don't understand it. People have the right to not agree with everyone else. Like, people have forgotten about that. We all should be the same in equality. No, we're never going to have equality. Why should we? You hang out with people you like, and you like the people that agree with you, and if you don't, you don't go with them. You don't try to force them into your own beliefs.
Right. I mean, Christians have rights, too, just like gays do. I mean, each
Thank
group
you.
Should have the ability to, associate who with they want to associate with, and not be forced around by the government to associate with a gay wedding if they don't want to, or whatever, you know?
Yeah, for a country that's supposed to be about freedom of speech, it seems like that's like more of a condemning thing than actual freedom, because I also have the freedom to disagree. I mean, like, whatever happened to that?
Anyway, speaking of Christianity, I guess we should talk about Crystal Triangle, which features God, who is a worm.
You spoiled it. The podcast is over. I guess we should really explain why God is a grub.
Yeah. So we are going to watch and review this anime for Easter, because last year we did Ninja Resurrection, which aired on Toon Radio last night, and I think it's actually airing on there right now, too.
At this current time on April 3rd at 10:56 a.m. Standard Time, so...
Right, and this is also a religion-related anime about God's message involving... I don't even remember what he said at the end, do you?
No. It's about, like, what the actual, like, message was, like, that...
Yeah.
So, yeah, John, I've always stated, because I saw Crystal Triangle a few years ago out of my own curiosity, before we ever started podcasting, and... For the longest time, Crystal Triangle was the anime I looked at and saying, that is the worst anime I've ever seen. And I have stuck by that until I saw the first two episodes of Mysterious Girlfriend X, a.k.a. The Spit Show.
Yeah.
When I really had to critically think about it. So, and it's the fact that's like, if you can narrow it down, what's so offensive about Crystal Triangle? What was so offensive to you about Crystal Triangle? In your opinion?
Well, it's just hardly made any sense. I mean, it's some archaeologist, and then he suddenly has psychic powers. It's like Psychic Horse, where the main character just suddenly gets, like, psychic powers and starts, like, beating up demons. Well, in this one, I guess he's fighting, like, the evil monks who spit lasers out of their mouths and stuff. But
yeah.
The plot just doesn't make any sense. This is just weird.
All right, so... On the John Jones Richter scale of terrible anime, is this above or below that anime that was on Toonami that we all agree that's terrible, that I can't think of the name right now?
Sword Art Online?
No, the other one from a long, long time ago. Oh, Pilot Candidate.
Bakugan?
Is it worse or better than
that? Yeah, Pilot Candidate. That was on Adult Swim, I think. But yeah, this is worse than that. But that one is kind of boring. I mean, like... Pilot Canada, it wasn't, like, amusingly horrible like this is.
It's just the fact that, like, my opinion on this, and, like, I don't know if, like, I guess this is maybe coming from, like, my religious background and everything, but it's the fact that it just insults my intelligence. And granted, like, you know, a lot of anime out there, let's be honest, it's not there to make you intelligently bright. Or to really critically think about what's being seen. It's there for entertainment purposes. However, Crystal Triangle, admittedly, it is entertaining to see at certain points. But at the same time, your brain, it's so damn stupid. And I've seen a lot of stupid stuff.
At the end, one of his girlfriends, I don't remember which one, she was like, there was Moses... There was Jesus,
and
there was you, Kamishiro.
That was the CIA chick that that posed as Juno, the professor from NYU, and like maybe her BS CIA's archaeologist degree or whatever she's sporting.
That's the one whose tits he stuck his head in right away?
Yeah.
At the start of the anime? Yeah.
Well, it's just funny how... Oh gosh, we'll get to that at the end. Just kind of work our way down, but it's just the fact that it's like Crystal Triangle, like it's like okay, you know, I can understand. I mean, I don't mind something trying to say that they're trying to kill God, as long as they do it in a very intelligent way and try to back that up. Not Russian stealth bomber crashes into God's spaceship and kills God. And that's exactly what happened. Like, as simple as that sounds, that's exactly what happens in this. It's just like...
The grandson of Rasputin, who is an archaeologist and a KGB agent.
And is super effective in wielding his RPG rocket launcher and uses no other weaponry at his disposal. It's just the fact, it's like, and when I even said this in the chat, I was like, you know, I remember when, like, Christians got really pissed off about Golden Compass, because they're like, oh, it's a metaphor for, like, how they were trying to kill God in the movie. But then this came out, like, 15 years or 20 years earlier, and no one gave a shit about it. No one, probably because no one knows about this.
Yeah, it's obscure.
I think I had to show the Christian community this anime and just see, like, okay, so I remember you guys were really pissed about, like, you know, Golden Compass, but is this worse than that? Because at least Japan had the balls to kill off God.
What I want to know is, why is God a larvae in this?
I don't know. I seriously do not know, and I don't know if this is this is referenced off a book or another work. I highly doubt it.
And what's with this 1,000-year-old chick that's like his archaeology assistant or whatever?
The thing is, like, with Japanese culture, they view Christianity as this, like, very exotic religion, and like less than 1% of them in that country is actually, like, proclaim Christians. I mean, there's a lot of, like, church colleges and Bible colleges for missionaries back in, like, the late 1800s and stuff that set things up. And, you know, most of those churches are still there today. But it's kind of a religion that, like, they don't really know a whole lot about. But it's very exotic in how they, you know, view it and everything. And then they would try to replicate it, like, in Crystal Triangle, but then also, like, have symbolism and, like, Mama Roshi brings it up. But at least Mama Roshi knows a whole lot about the Bible. So I'm not going to discredit him on that. And then they got, like, Anna, who brings up Christian symbolism and Evangelion, and then they're like, it doesn't really mean anything. It was just cool.
Yeah, I think this is, like
so Eva. I don't know, like, I don't know if someone's reading the Bible, like, and then, like, maybe they got, like, the wrong transcript where they believe God was a caterpillar grub, and they're like, you know, this is why Christianity is so exotic in Japan, because we believe God is a caterpillar grub, and it's relating to something, so let's just throw this in our cartoon.
Yeah, I think this is like Evangelion, where they just thought they just wanted to put in some Christian stuff just for the hell of it, just because they thought it would look interesting. But I don't know where they got this part about the worm.
That, like, they hate Evangelion because of, like, how misrepresented it, you know, Christianity is in that anime. But it's just like, you don't, like, why are you watching Evangelion for, like, a good Christian anime? That's what Superbook's there for.
Who hates it?
Wait, what?
Who is it that you said hated Evangelion because of that?
There's certain Christian people Christian groups out there. Like, I know there's, like, a forum. I think it's Christian Anime Alliance. Like, apparently, like, it's a banned topic to talk about Evangelion on that forum.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that site. Do you know if they've ever talked about Crystal Triangle on there, though?
I don't know, because I went on there one time 8 years ago to see what it was, and I was like, yeah, I'm never coming back here. And I'm sure Crystal Triangle has been brought up there before, and it wouldn't surprise me if I did, like, a quick search on Google or something, or, like, through their forums. I'm just not going to bother to do it.
So are we, like, aware of the plot enough to, like, explain it and do, like, a step-by-step summary of it? Because I don't know what the hell happened in this.
I notated a lot of stuff about to the 55-minute mark before I said, I give up. We just couldn't take it. It was overloaded by all the stupidity in this.
Well, that's about when there's, like, 20 minutes of jets flying around, like, or something.
I'm high and tired, and I have no idea what's going on, so I gave up, too.
Yeah, I could barely tell what was happening after. I mean, I started to kind of, like, doze off a bit during the scene where they're, like, on the boat confessing their love to each other or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That was going on for, like, a long time. And
so I guess we'll just go ahead and give the play-by-play for this. And I don't know if we should still... I guess we can do introductions real quick. Oh. I'm Xeonic or Dustin. And
25 minutes in, we're doing introductions.
Yeah, okay. Why not? I mean, like, it goes very well. Like, I mean, we didn't even know most of these characters until halfway through it anyways. And then, John, you know who you are.
Yes, I'm John.
It's not me talking. And obviously our topic is Crystal Triangle, and that's why we don't ever do introductions. I should have never brought it up. But anyways, so, yeah, I think I was getting back to my point about Crystal Triangle. Like, it's just an offensive to the senses in terms of, like, the stupidity and everything of, like, how they just go about it. And we're not the only ones that agree with this, from what I understand from other people who review this anime. So everyone's in agreement that this is pretty damn dumb.
Yeah, so. I googled anime, Crystal Triangle, and I found like a Anime World Order review of it. And
yeah, their review's probably going to be on par with what we got to say, because they're like, yeah, it's pretty stupid.
Yeah, I didn't actually listen to it, but I was like looking through the comments to see if anyone said if there was a dub or not, but it seems that nobody bothered to dub this thing.
No, I mean, I know that it was released in America by CPM, I believe. And yeah, it was. But you know what's interesting? It's the fact that like with my blog, that I go through like some of these old ads from like a company called Laser Perceptions and like the old Animag issues I scan. And what they'll do is like their ad is them posting up whatever they sold anime for like, you know, back in 1989, 1990 on like either VHS or Laserdisc. And they had Crystal Triangle and Laserdisc priced at $130. Oh. And I remember looking at that and going, how many people bought that at $130? And also, how many people who bought it still have it today and say, I do not regret making that purchase decision?
Yeah.
I want to know who those people are.
Is that for, like, on eBay, the Laserdisc?
The Laserdisc, I think, on eBay sells at most, $30. And even then, that is, I look at it and I go, that's way too freaking high for me.
We just watched it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's like, oh, man.
There were, like, 50,000 views, so I was surprised even that many people had seen this, because it seems like it's pretty obscure.
I think it's like, I wonder how many of the 55,000 looked at it and got like 20 minutes in and said, this is too stupid, I can't finish the rest of this.
I think there was like one positive comment, and there were like 17 negative ones. Well, a couple of them were in Japanese, so I don't know what they said. But
I remember, I think I was on a Colony Drop IRC channel one time, and I know Mike Tool was on there. And he made a comment about, like, oh, I'll definitely pick up, like, Crystal Triangle on Blu-ray release if Discotech ever gets. And I'm like, why waste the money, Mike? Why? And he's like, dude, it'll be totally worth it. I'm like, Mike Tool, what's wrong with you? Why would you spend $20 on a Blu-ray copy of Crystal Triangle? And you might have been joking, I don't know. But I just remember reading that, and I'm like, why, Mike? Why? It's not worth it. This is one of these anime that's like, you'd have to pay me to own it unless I get it like for, like, if I go to a flea market and spend a dollar getting it, I'd still think I'm overpaying for it. That's how I personally feel today. With it being almost 30 years old.
This is from 86, right?
Yeah. All right.
Maybe so, it'll get a Blu-ray for its 30th anniversary.
Why bother upscaling it? It's no point.
Well, the animation didn't seem that bad.
The what?
The animation didn't seem that bad for 86, yeah, I guess.
To give credit where credit is due, it had some really cool, it had some good animation. It's not, you know, it's not like top quality like at the time, but like for the time, in terms of like what they're able to do with the OVA, it's not bad. And interesting enough, the Toyo Ishida was one of the character designs for this, and he was the director for Fist of the North Star.
Whoa.
So.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I have to wonder what the deal is with some of these characters, though. Like, what the hell's with the Yakuza samurai dude who just shows up out of nowhere and he's like, I'm here to protect you. I have the sword Muramasa.
Like, he was working for that one, like, old Japanese dude that they were after him because it's a giant power struggle to get the message from God or whatever. You know, let's just go play by play. So, like, it starts out with they're in the desert, and Tamashiro and Juno, and he gets a face full of her boobs, and then she's just like, "Oh yeah, you're totally into me." And then they go to like some ruined excavation site that's like controlled by ISIS or 1986 ISIS or a guerrilla group supposedly, and of course like. Tamashiro's plan to destroy to distract them is the fact that there's a crate of dynamite next to like a pillar, and he runs in there like full guts and glory to run into the line of fire of the terrorist to then like lay down and shoot out the dynamite box, and then it winds up causing this chain reaction event to destroy like the entire pillars in the area, only for them to recover the box from the freaking Marvel comics. Or the cube or whatever.
Oh, yeah. The box that has the triangle inside of it, that's what you're talking about?
Yeah. It's got a bunch of Hebrew language on it or whatever, and it's made out of some material they don't know anything about. And then, like, supposedly, like, it's the fact that, like, they're on the way back from that, and then Juno's just like, hey, you know, you want to fool around? I mean, planes in this area don't usually take off on time, so we have, like, a while. So let's just pork in the desert. And then they do, and then, like, Thomas Shue is just like, I think we're breaking some commandment there. Oh, well.
Yeah, he says something like, Moses said, thou shalt not commit adultery, and then he has sex with her.
Implied sex, I guess.
Yeah, they don't actually show it, but, I mean, it's what you're supposed to assume. So she's like a CIA honeypot or whatever.
Yeah, and, well, what was funny was the fact that, like, they get to the airport, like, as soon as their plane's about to leave, and they decide to, like, drive over the fence, and they're, like, armored Jeep or whatever, and then they park right in front of the airplane for their way of saying, hey, we're going to get on this airplane, and we're not going to pay a ticket about it. What you going to do? And then they're on the plane.
Yeah, and he's just, like, passed out on there, and then the plane, well, she's, like, talking to him in his sleep, and then the plane crashes, and they don't say how they got off.
No, you're forgetting the middle part. We need to mention about the Crystal Triangle and how well the quote-unquote English and Lushin is in this anime. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if, like, the Russian language is spoken by someone who's I think it's, like, someone in Japanese who's the one person in the entire country who knows how to speak Russian the best they can.
Yeah. Well, and they do have some Russian characters in Do, Ra, 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 Ra. And they're, like, they sound a little bit more authentic than this. Like, I don't know if they got real Russians for that. But this does not sound like they did.
No.
And the English definitely is not by native English speakers either.
No. So then, like, the plane gets gets hijacked.
Yeah.
And the lines are like, because I whenever I did my panels at cons, I would show, like, I would do, like, an English section of it where, like, I'd show, like, the English of this and then Clash of the Bionoids. And, just so people can laugh at it. And then I've, of course, spoiled the ending of the Crystal Triangle, so then people never, ever have to see this. But it's just like on the plane, like, these terrorists pop up in their typical ski mask, and they're like, this is a hijacker. Be quiet, or I need to kill all of you. And then she has, like, Juno has that lipstick, like, smoke grenade thing. And so she's the one that really takes down the plane, and they're like, what the hell did I actually done? And then the plane goes down, which, surprisingly enough, is near some sort of cargo ship that happens to be going by. So they had better luck than the Malaysia flight did.
Yeah.
Like, back in Japan, I guess you've got, like, Kamishiro's two best students that are like, oh, he's dead, he hasn't been back in weeks, we don't know where he's at, and then he shows up, he's just like, oh, you guys thought I was dead? Well, I'm not.
And then they keep praying to his, like, little Japanese funeral picture.
I guess because they thought he was a ghost or something.
Yeah.
So then they take the cube over to, I remember he was asleep, and then he made that one girl, made him cook breakfast as it's like, it better be ready when I get out of this coma of mine. There better be food on that table. And then he just goes back to sleep.
Yeah, so he gets there, and then she starts, like, beating him up, and she's like, how could you not tell us that you were alive? And then he passes out, and then he wakes up, and he's like, bitch, cook me an omelet. And then he goes back to sleep.
Oh, yeah, so they go to this science place or whatever to look at and then they figure out the scientists found that it's crystal triangles inside the box, and they're going to cut it with their razor. And I'm looking at what you wrote in the chat last night. You even have, like, crystal triangle disc.
That's what he said.
So anyways, they find the triangles, and then Kamoshira figures out there's a message on each, and he's able to blend the slides together. And what's so interesting about this anime is the fact that all of the places they have to go to to uncover and discover the message of the Crystal Triangle is all found in Japan. So this is like low budget Indiana Jones crap. And pyramids in Japan, no less.
Yeah. And Stonehenge in Saudi Arabia or wherever that they were in. I mean, they said it's like better than Stonehenge.
Why does this even matter?
Yeah, the omelet chick is the one who's all jealous and stuff.
And then, but like once they're in the temple, they uncover some message, and then Juno comes back. And then Kamoshiro was just playing it cool, like, oh, so you've been a CIA agent the whole time. Well, I guess I could have figured that one out. It's like, how would you know?
Yeah, he didn't know.
But then also we have the other rival of the KGB, who is the grandson of Rasputin, who his only superpower attack is wielding an RPG rocket launcher. And... I think if I have to give this anime credit, it's the fact that how accurate the shooting an RPG is, which is not very accurate. Because he's the one, whenever he shows up, he's the one destroying everything. Because he's got an RPG rocket launcher.
It's pretty funny, because he's supposed to be like an archaeologist, but he's like destroying all these artifacts with his Russian rocket launcher.
No, he'll talk a big game about how like... I have all this respect, and I respect Kamoshiro since we're both, like, you know, archaeologists, and we have to preserve everything. But I gotta just... But, like, he'll go out and just, and like, be hypocritical and destroy the place that they're at 5 seconds later.
Yeah.
I was like... I gotta wonder, like, when he went to, like, Spetsnaz KGB school, like, maybe they were just like, okay, he doesn't know how to use a weapon... Maybe he's really good at heavy weapons, and they give him an RPG, and he's just like shooting it under the leg and shooting it from the behind him or whatever. I could just see they do a James Bond spoof on it, but it's like him with a rocket launcher coming as the gun barrel moves along with him, and they're like, all right, well, let's just equip him with a rocket an RPG, and I think he'll be a pretty good addition to the KGB squad or something.
I mean, I think the KGB probably killed all of Rasputin's family. I don't think they recruited them. It's not a very accurate historically movie.
Even at this point, like, he's got a name, but, like, they just kept referring him as, like, the grandson of Rasputin as, like, a title. And even he admits it. He's like, I, the grandson of Rasputin, cannot let this stand or something.
Yeah.
So clearly his name, whatever he was called, like, when they first meet him, does not mean anything.
At one point, he starts screaming out in Russian about at Rasputin. He's like, my great-grandfather, you have been proved right because the mysticism has triumphed over rationality or something. Because they were in, like, Machu Picchu and they found some artifact or something. I don't know how it proved that or whatever, but...
Yeah, he went on that whole tirade in Russian, and I didn't even know what he was saying. That's when my brain just started gradually shutting down.
They'll put, like, little... Japanese captions when he starts speaking in Russian, and then beneath that there's CPM's English translation too, so there's three languages going on at once.
I gotta wonder if, like, maybe this is supposed to be like an educational film for people trying to learn Russian and English, because they say those two languages, or this, you know, they speak those two languages a lot, and then... But of course, like, it gets ridiculous. Well, like, we'll get to that other part when, they're at Machu Picchu, and then Rasputin's grandson destroys it. And then they're up there, and they're about to fight the monks, and then, like, Yakuza ninja guy shows up, and he's there to protect them or whatever. And then they go into this other place where they spend the night at the hotel, and then, like, I can't remember, the hotel was, like, after the demon battle or before or whatever.
Yeah, they fight the monks or whatever, and
yeah.
Well, the Yakuza guy does, but he's like, he's just not with them yet. He's just like stalking them for some reason. And He fights the monk with the laser beam. He like sends it back at him using his sword Muramasa or something. And then they go back to the hotel, and the guy gets drunk, and he's like, you better marry a professor, mystery girl, and then you've got a good figure, so you have good babies. And she slaps him.
I didn't even halfway read it, and you're like, in the chat, you're like, did he, what the, what, like, WTF did he just say? I'm like, dude, I'm not even paying attention. I read something about babies, but I was, like, trying to go back between notes and taking him down. I'm just like, man, screw it, I'm not even going to go back and reread that part. And then, like, other archaeologist girl gets really, like, jealous of that or whatever. And then, like, yeah, he's over there, like chugging Heineken down like it's nothing. Which apparently in, like, 80s anime world, like, everyone drinks Heineken as their only beer of choice. It's something I have noticed. Like, because they bring up Heineken in, like, Megazone 2, 3 and stuff like that. And I've tried Heineken before, and it is, I did not particularly like it at all.
I like how he's doing that at the end of the anime, too, after he has, like, been given the soul of the thousand-year-old.
Yeah, he's been given the message of God, and he's, like, supposed to have, and then, like, his only goal in life now is just to get plastered and, like, flat-out drunk. I'll have to, anyways.
I think the message God sent him was that he really likes Heineken or something. God's favorite,
like,
beer.
You've been drinking the wrong whiskey. It's really, you know, Captain Morgan is where you ought to be going for with rum taste. That's the message from God there. Yeah, but okay, yeah, so the thing at the hotel happened, but then also, like, I guess it was after the monk battle where they turn into demons or whatever, and he's got, like, those, like, two golden spear things, and it's able to protect him. And then I think in the middle of the fight or some fight, he has a flashback about, like, his sensei, like, telling him stuff that I just didn't even care about. And then it'll go back to the battle because that happened a couple times when there was a flashback to something. And then, like, apparently this is when all the nations of the world, the ones that really count, like America and Russia, that are deploying their armies. And so then you've got CIA chick in a submarine. No, that was on the boat. That was after the boat. And then, so you got CIA, you know, chick that's on a submarine, and they're trying to distract the Russians under the water. And, like, and that whole scene is just fantastic. We're like, everyone in America at the Pentagon is like, they are moving towards our Hokkaido. Launch the fleet. And then you get the president of the United States, or English Ronald Reagan, who's like,
Ronald
I have
Reagan.
Moved to deploy this Pacific fleet. Mose is the plan. And that's just... Oh my god, dude. And that whole scene is just fantastic. And yeah, so then, like, but the funny thing about the Yakuza guy is, like, you know he's from the Yakuza because, like, he stalks them, and then, like, when they're on the way to the shrine, and he opens up his trunk, and there's, like, a crap load of guns back there, and he's just like, we need to arm ourselves. And I'm like, well, clearly you're an illegal, you know, arms dealer, or, like, you're in illegal activities if you're able to haul around all these weapons in a nation that bans weapons like this.
Yeah, and he, like, gives them to the archaeologist chicks and the, what's the other guy, Isao, and Isao is, like, some archaeologist apprentice who's there for, like, no reason.
He wields the shotgun, and, like, that's all he really does. And then pretty much the ending is the setup for the apocalypse in Hokkaido, Japan, which, this is what gets me, like, if we're talking about, like, on a biblical standpoint, is the fact that's like, they treat Japan as, like, the centerpiece of, like, we're all religion, like, where all the Bible happened, which I think there was a guy on the internet that claimed that, like, a long time ago, which was funny. But if Japan was
there's
really...
a town in Japan that they think Jesus was from, or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's it. Here's the thing. So, let's entertain this thought. So, let's say that everything that happened in the Bible happened in Japan. Okay, so if that's the case, everything that's been happening in the Middle East would all be happening in Japan. Japan would not be as would be more screwed up on the levels of, like, the Middle East if everything in the biblical times happened in Japan. Because, like, on a biblical standpoint, that Middle East area is important because that's where, like, the Jews are at, and that's where stuff has been happening for thousands of years. And supposedly that's where Armageddon may take place or whatever. But, like, if everything happened in Japan, that would not all be in the Middle East. It would be in Japan, and we would not. And then, so the Middle East would really be, like, the cesspool of, like, Israeli animation and, like, computer electronics and stuff like that. So it's like, Japan, do you really believe the Bibles were in your location where all it happened? Because if so, you would be like the Middle East right now, and you do not want that.
Yeah.
I'm just stating a point. So
I don't just, think there are very many Jews in Japan, Arthur.
The what?
I don't think there's very many Jews in Japan.
Or Arabs. Not that I recall.
At least I didn't run into anyone I saw was there.
I didn't notice any there either, so I wouldn't know what to say about that. This is, so then we're getting to the part where the stupidity level is jacked up to the heavens. And this is the part where they unlock the God spaceship by, like, being in some centerpiece that draws out the Star of David. And, and or something, or like a pentagram or something. And then a spaceship comes up. And so then the priestess is the one that's able to, like, pure enough to go into the God spaceship and talk to God, which we find out is a caterpillar grub that talks like a high-pitched auto-tune four-year-old. And while this is all happening, the nations of the world, really U.S. and Russia and Japan, is just kind of like, well, we're just going to let this happen on our land. There's really nothing we can do about it. And then, like, you know, Rasputin's grandson is up there, and he's like, he basically, like, hulks out by pulling one of his own Russian, like, helicopters down or Hindies or whatever, and then blows it up with an RPG and dies a glorious death. Like, Kamoshiro was trying to get inside God's spaceship because his waifu's in there, and or the priestess, and then he tries using the RPG thing. But what was funny was the fact that Rasputin was trying to do it earlier, and Kamoshiro was like, no, you can't solve your problems by using an RPG. And then they fight it out. And then Kamoshiro is the one that uses an RPG on it and realizes, well, that didn't work. And I don't know how much of this you saw, but then Kamoshiro was able to summon a spirit bomb Kamehameha wave.
Oh, I saw that.
Would blow open the door of God's spaceship.
Yeah. He just, like, suddenly has this energy ball in his hand.
Yeah,
and he just throws it at the spaceship, and then he goes and hangs out with the caterpillar god.
Well, no, he doesn't go into the spaceship because he, like, somehow he falls off from the blast, and then his earth powers is able to, like, gradually descend him to the ground, and that's when he goes into that dragon fight with, like, the other priest that's still alive, and he winds up winning and eating his dragon or whatever. And then from afar, he sees that the priestess is trying to get God's message. And while this is happening, they bring out a Russian blackjack bomber. And the bomber kamikaze crashes into God's spaceship and kills God. And so, in doing so, logic is then more, is even thrown across all corners in the universe when the... when God dies in the middle of the message, and the priestess is communicating with Kamoshiro saying, God is dead, but I got his message. And I'm like, what message? What message did you get? Because he said nothing. He was about to go into his thesis statement, and he died.
Yeah, so then they show this, like, naked thousand-year-old chick, and... she, like, sends her spirit into Kamoshiro or something, right?
Oh, is that what happened? Because that's, like... because all of a sudden, he was, like, the next prophet along with Jesus and Moses.
Yeah, I think she, like, revealed the message to him somehow. And then she stayed on the spaceship and died, right? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I didn't see her after the spaceship blew up. It was, like, this giant rainbow atomic bomb light or whatever went off in the distance. And then, like, and then, of course, like, Juno's just like, all right, so you got God's message, what is it? And he's just like, I'm not going to tell you. And I'm like, because motherfucker, you don't know it. You don't know Jack. And then he drives off in the desert, and then Juno's just like, he's one of the chosen few on the planet that receives God message like Moses and Christ and Jesus himself. And he must always carry this burden the rest of his life. And then it just ends him and his house, like, getting drunk. And then that's the end of Crystal Triangle.
Yeah. He's just, like, watching
Here's
TV.
Here's the thing about
drunk.
That. So, Kamoshiro is up there with those two people. I don't know why.
Because he can summon dragons and do the spirit ball.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's just like he's being compared to that. So, like, and I mean, I understand, like, you know, figures in the Bible. I mean, like, the Bible's full of people that really screwed up, and you kind of learn from that. You got to learn from their mistakes because that's history. But, like, at least they did something when God promised them something, and that has moved along the timeline and the future and the will of God for the Jewish people and everyone else in mankind, you know. I guess, like, maybe Kamoshiro is just ending on him drinking and taking it all in and being like, so am I the new Messiah now? How am I supposed to handle this? Or am I just going to die with this message that that my dead waifu girlfriend gave me in God's spaceship or something? and it's just kind of like, it's so stupid. I can't get into it. I just, like, there's so much there. And like, it hurts to dissect all that, like, useless information.
It can't really be explained because it doesn't make sense. I mean, you just have to see it for yourself.
Yeah. So now I think you can understand why, and hopefully our listeners will understand why, that my mom's calling me, that I just really cannot stand this anime at all. It's my number two most hated anime. Let me talk to my mom real quick.
All right.
And I'll just edit this out. I think she bought it.
Do you
so
have to
yeah,
go
ladies
somewhere,
and gentlemen, that is Crystal
on?
Triangle. All right then. I guess what I wanted to say was the guy who directed this is, since we talked about staff earlier. Yeah, there's nothing else to cover in this, but Seiji Okuda, and his works are credited as him. Let's see. Working as series director for the Dan Cougar stuff, where he directed the Dan Cougar Requiem of Victims and Dan Cougar TV series. He did storyboard for Dr. Slump, Dream Hunter Rim. So he worked on a lot of these 80s OVA animes, it seems. He also did storyboards for Hamtaro, so he was able to get work later.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of reading stuff that pops out. He's done 5 episodes of Naruto for the storyboard. Worked on new Dream Hunter Rim. He was an episode director on Space Ace. And he also did storyboards for 5 episodes of Turn A Gundam, too. And then I told you that he was the director for the Yōrai Shimen TV series about the time-traveling cop or whatever. But that was before Crystal Triangle.
Oh, yeah. I saw that opening. It looked pretty weird.
That what?
The opening that you posted on the chat of the Yōrai Shimen thing.
Actually, I heard that... some streaming service. The Anime Network is to stream Yōrai Shimen. That was actually posted back in November last year. Because I know, like, it's also got a Saban dub to it also. So apparently this has been dubbed before. Huh.
That probably sucks. I mean, Saban's dubs are not usually very good. But it's kind of an interesting thing to see. Just to see how much they screw it up.
Yeah, I think in terms of Saban dubs... I actually got Samurai Pizza Cats on DVD from someone from my church.
Is it the discotheque release?
It's a dub, but I think the guy that I got it from, like, burnt it off the internet, so they were, like, maybe TV rips or something.
Oh, okay.
And he has it for his kid in his car, that I guess, like, he's got all these cartoons he made for, but he grew up on Samurai Pizza Cats. And I saw the first episode of this, and I had my girlfriend over, and we're just like, wow, that's quite the show. Because he gave it to me, and I'm just like, yeah, I'll give it a shot because I've never seen it. But, you know, this is coming. This is me looking through the eyes of a 29-year-old at a TV show made for kids under 6. So this ought to be interesting.
Is it good at all? Or?
It's pretty. It gets up there in the pretty zaniness. It's just mostly zany, and I don't know exactly what they cut out. But, like, it has them being shot out of, like, they work at some, like, well, the pizza shop, which is probably a noodle shop in the Japanese version, but like they apparently have a giant handgun or a revolver that they shoot out of to go like stop the crime of the city. That's what I got from the first episode, and I was just like, this show just does not care. I'm like, I could see why people might have thought this was great or incredibly stupid in the early 90s when it was on TV.
Chris Chan loves it.
All right, well, then I should immediately never watch any more of it ever again. Oh,
I think speaking Chris Chan, he's kind of like Gato Matt, where he just loves everything. Except for things with blue arms, of course.
Yeah. Speaking of Chris Chan, as one of our pillars that make up this podcast, I haven't really heard anything new about him, because normally, if anything happens, you guys would be right there in the forefront to tell me whenever I'm on the chat.
The only thing that's really happened recently was some emails of his got leaked.
Mm-hmm.
And the highlight was him calling Megan Schroeder, the girl he drew porn of, German war cosplaying bitch.
Wow.
Yeah. And he accused her of being behind all the trolls and ruining his life and a bunch of other really nasty things. And the picture that he drew of her, like his classmates from Manchester High, caught a hold of it, and they all like started unfriending him and ignoring him on Facebook, and they were like not wanting to go to the high school reunion that he was trying to get organized for the 15th anniversary this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so he eventually decided that he was gonna go. But he was going to try to sneak in and, like, nobody would notice. And then he was going to, like, find his gal pals and force them to befriend him again, which I assume involves kidnapping them.
Among other worse things.
Yeah. And he also said in one of these emails that he was going to go to one of their workplaces and surprise them. And he, like, found their work address because he, like, consulted with the trolls or something, and they, like, told him where they live or something. Yeah. So he was gonna, like, go and, I guess, just, like, say, hey, you should have gone to the prom with me 15 years ago and, like, harass them and stuff.
Oh, my God!
But he eventually decided not to because someone...
Wait, he's actually able to make a smart, reasonable decision for once in his life? That's I have to applaud him on that.
Well, it was one of the fake girlfriends that was a troll told him not to because they wanted to like sabotage the rival troll's plan to cause this.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because Chris would get arrested.
Yeah.
Or a restraining order against him or something.
On all of the above?
Yeah. And they also posted one of the emails from the gal pals where they were talking about how Bob paid them to hang out with Chris, and they just felt sorry for the poor kid. And then they said that they don't like him anymore because they saw all the creepy stuff he's done online since then. And also, I have some Love That Goku stuff, too.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I think he told me he came back or he was training in a well.
Yeah.
For like 4 months or something.
He was in the well since like November. And then he got deported back to the U.S. He gets deported back and forth between Ecuador and U.S. every few months. And then he was sent to another troubled boys home, even though I think he's an adult by now. But
I think he's
like
18, yeah.
Yeah, he's like a mentally retarded, so.
Well, I mean, when you have someone that claims that he's going to, like, turn all the feral dogs around in Ecuador, and that he's been punching feral dogs left and right to protect Ecuador, I don't know, like, really what to believe on that.
Yeah, it's all made up, I think, but it's funny.
It's the great. It's like the one most wonderful saga on Twitter that I can think of.
So anyway, he met this guy at the troubled boys home called Dennis, that was a LARPer, and he joined the LARP team for a while, and he was playing as Goku, and then he got kicked off. And I'm gonna read the tweets where he gets kicked off. I got kicked off the LARP team. I would like to say thank you for nothing to the LARP community, scum shit of our fucking time bomb of a dump universe. Do not come crying to me when your LARP team falls apart because it doesn't have a spine anymore. LARP this. One of the LARP boys would not stop pretending to throw potions at me, so I went over there and I shoved a bunch of dirt in his mouth. Yes, I got kicked off the LARP team, but do not worry about me. You should see the LARP team. Well, back to square one. I do not have a single friend in this home. Dennis will not talk to me because I made his stupid friend eat dirt, and he said I should say sorry, and I said I'd sooner apologize to the dirt. Let this instance be a warning to the rest of the LARP community. I will put dirt in your mouth.
Oh, comedy gold.
Yeah.
I do want to say that this morning, before we started talking, I did see last week's recordings of Toonami in the first episode of Sword Art Online 2.
Oh, God.
And I was right on my prediction that it's just like the opening of Rambo 2. You can't make me go back in the game. Kirito, we need you now more than ever. Okay, then. End of episode one. That was it. I literally like was sitting there slapping my chair, laughing at it. I'm like, I was exactly right about Sword Online 2 a year ago when we joked about, like, I compared it to Rambo, and that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was so stupid, the stuff with like him talking about how he wants to hold hands on the internet and all that.
Walking through the park of like, oh, this park is like the center of all MMOs as an allegory of SAO, and I'm like, what are you talking about, girl?
And then they're like, we want to bring our AI internet daughter to the real world. And they actually do that, spoilers, later in the season. They build like a little camera that floats around and she can like see out of it and talk out of it and shit. It's really stupid. It's basically like if someone invented like a fake Navi or whatever from Zelda that just follows you around and yells, "Hey, listen!" Like, why would you want an NPC following you around saying stupid shit in the real world?
Oh my god!
Oh,
I think that's about.
What wait a sec. I think his trial was yesterday.
I thought I thought about. I knew his trial was this month, but I thought like it already happened.
Hold on, I'm gonna check on the quickie forum, see if there's anything from it this time. Operation Chris Eater 2, the Fanta Pain.
Oh man,
that sounds like it's related to
that
to
sounds
the trial.
Legit right there.
Attention all loyal Sonichu fans on the internet. Hey, Jackie Pie and I are currently en route to Seaville to attend the Trial of the Century. We'll let you know how it all goes down. Just stay tuned here. We plan to find out the following. Will Crystal get out of the mirror? Will the 7 Sonichu balls be collected? Will CWC ever find his true sweetheart? Is Chris and Megan Schroeder still an item? Which, by the way, in all seriousness, we will be there, and we will give you all the events as they go down. I know you guys really only care about the trial right now, and we plan to tell you guys everything that happens there. However, we'll be bored in the meantime, and hey, Jackie Pie is an amateur photographer and really wants to photograph some historical locations for you all. So we love your suggestions. Anything else you want to ask, ask us here. Okay, let me see if I can find their posts, because this thread is long as hell. I just want to see the the stuff they posted, because I don't care about the other posts.
Yeah.
As we pull in, we see a blue Ford Focus with the license plate, Sonichu.
That ought to give it away.
Bland newish, too. Brand newish. Damn it. I'm getting to speak English because of this damn crystal triangle.
A blue-ish Sonichu out of Rue Record.
probably newer than my car. It totally looked more like a Decepticon than an Autobot, for the record. What the hell?
This is pointless chit chatter.
This is such a stupid post. My bud decides that, well, guess I'm going in for coffee. I stayed in the car. I'll let him tell you what he saw in there. I was sitting in the car when he came out. He was wearing those stupid little My Little Pony sunglasses, carrying two cups of coffee. He had a black cardigan thing on, I think. But what was more noticeable was his striped dress. It looked like someone stole the curtains from a freshman girl's dorm room. And sewed it together haphazardly. It gave him noticeable trouble while walking. He was wearing some type of lace-up boots that were some sort of high heels, but not really. Probably didn't help with the walk. He didn't seem to realize that in a dress his gait couldn't stride as wide and kept almost falling over and stumbling when his feet landed.
He doesn't know about weight distribution between men and females.
Barb was strangely absent. He fucked around his car and went for the trunk. He pulled out one of those things for wiping your windshield. Looked stolen from a gas station. I don't think he did anything with it. Just took it out and fumbled around with it and then put it back.
Oh, are they talking about one of those, like, those windshield wiper, like, the glass cleaners at gas stations where they have, like, you dip it in, like, the water or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, like, one of the, okay, wow, that's pretty low for him to steal one of those from a gas station. Like, no one, why would you ever steal one of those? They're, like, for somebody that everyone can use.
Especially
the squeegee, yeah, that was it.
He doesn't even know how to use it, that's the funny part. He just put it back in the trunk and he couldn't figure it out. Okay, there's more. Hey, Jackie Pie came out just as he was getting back in his car. We tried to lose him, but ended up taking turns following each other. Chris swerved out of the way of a crow in the street without looking into another lane. We just drove up to the crow like normal people, and it flew away last minute like they always do. We tried to lose him continually, or at least tried to trail or get ahead of him, but we were like right next to each other the same time. We took a wrong turn and lost him. We found a spot where you are actually allowed to park near the courthouse. He parked in nearly the same spot as he did last time. He just sat there in his car. Seemed like he was playing a game on his phone or some shit. He sat there for nearly 30 minutes. We wanted to go in after him, so we just waited in front of the door. From behind me, I hear a string of, like, 9 stress sighs in a row. I turned around to see him. He had removed the My Little Pony glasses and wore his normal ones now. Could see what he was wearing, nearly the same tights he did last time. We gave it a minute so he could go in and sit down. We go in there, and he's just standing there at the metal detector. He had so much fucking jewelry to remove, like bracelets and necklaces, it took forever for him to get it all. The clerk at the metal detective rolled his eyes at him while he was doing it. After he got done, he just sat down in a chair in front of the courtroom, but not in it. What? In front of the courtroom, but not in it. Okay, whatever. He was stress-sighing and looking around nervously. God, he really does stress sigh a lot. With great self-discipline, I was able to restrain my laughter. He looks more like a nerdy kid than a woman or a tranny up close. He looks like a teenager who's trying out an outlandish style for attention, but not totally confident or aware of what style even is.
Oh, man.
Anyway, he finally fucking got up and went in, and we went through the metal detectors. By the time we got through, I had just opened up the courtroom door. He was coming back out, and we bumped into each other. He apologetically said, well, I got that out of the way quick, and dashed out the door to the courtroom. This was like 30 minutes before his hearing. so we didn't know what to make of that. He had noticed us, so we didn't know if he was trying to dodge us or what. So we just sat down, and boring court stuff happened for like 10 or so minutes, and we ended up leaving because it was clear he wasn't coming back. We saw he was still in his car. We walked around the building once, and he was gone. We went back to see if anything would be said about him, but they said nothing. Must have been a continuance. Chris is definitely not going to have an outburst, though, guys. He's super nervous. Maybe that's because Barb wasn't there. I don't know. And then they have a picture, which is of the doghouse of his dead dog. What the hell?
What?
They put a picture of his dead dog's doghouse at the bottom. Whatever. Okay, well, that doesn't seem like anything really happened. So he's got a few more months of freedom before they toss the book at him.
It's like, I think he's just finding a way to just keep putting it off.
Yeah, even though Chris didn't really do anything, just the description of him is always hilarious. Just his very existence is humorous.
I guess it's like, I figure like, the GameStop people would be there, but they're probably like, you know what, let's just handle, we'll just let the regular court system handle it or whatever, so.
Yeah, it's pretty weird that
yeah,
Chris was out by the time these guys even got through the metal detector. Maybe they should have gone in before Chris instead of waiting for him or something.
Maybe Chris got kicked out and the judge is just like, you still haven't learned how to dress yourself? Let's just delay it 6 months. That's probably what happened.
It says there's another post in here by someone called Hey Jackie Pie. Let me see here. Okay, I found it. Girls and boys, dudes of all teenagers, this is my account of what happened today. First things first, Chris was granted a continuance according to the Charlottesville General District Court website. We were unable to confirm what happened when we were there, but we will explain. But although we didn't actually observe Chris being called up in court in front of the judge, we had multiple sightings of Chris and some pictures and a video, which we will upload this evening. This is really long and contains several details, but I'd rather tell you guys everything that happened. Oh my god, what an awful account. These guys totally screwed up. They didn't even sit through the hearing. And they missed Chris's appearance. Worst trolls ever. Okay, well that took like a half hour because they talked so damn much. But
I didn't expect you to read everything. I thought you'd just get down to, like, the court hearings and everything, and, like,
yeah.
I was like, all right, like.
And they both say the same thing, pretty much. Like,
yeah.
There was only one little bit of new information, which was that Chris had two drinks at the McDonald's. I'm like, who the hell cares? And then he did a sigh at the McDonald's.
Chris Chance, yeah.
All right, well, that's enough of that Chris Chance stuff.
Yeah, I guess I can try to sum, I don't know if I can sum up that story or whatever, but, I'll just leave it as it is, yeah. I guess. I don't want, like, I guess it's like, I'll put time codes on the podcast, then people are like, and I'll just be like, okay, at the end, John's going to read out whatever people wrote on the internet about Chris's second hearing. If, you know, if you do not care, TLDR, don't even worry about it.
Yeah. It probably was too long to read. I shouldn't have even bothered. But I figured maybe there would be something
funny
in there.
Like, just get to the point, John! I might as well just cut out to, like, just the courthouse stuff and just forget all the McDonald's crap that happened. Because, like, again, nothing really happened. And all that's going to be uploaded on the internet anyway, so.
And cut out all the stuff where you just kept saying, I was so paranoid and nervous, and it was like being around
in
one direction.
I kind of peed it all out, and then, like, Chris's attire, but it's like, we're going to find out on video anyways. So, like, anyway.
All right, enough of that. I think we've had enough here.
Yeah,
this is about as long as the actual Crystal Triangle anime at this point.
Yeah, Chris Chan's the appetizer at the end is our closing statement as usual. Maybe one day we'll talk about something else. Probably not. But I do want to let you know that there's a guy that I know who wants to be on our podcast to talk about a board game. And I went to school with him because he wants to, just to kind of help promote it or something. But I figured if we have him on, we can probably review something. So I'll try to get that set up between him and me. Or maybe that's just something I can do with him.
Oh, so what is this? Some board game that he made, or?
Yeah, it's just something. It's something he's been working on for since I've known him at Tech College, and he actually was a guest at Triad Anime Con a few weeks ago. Because like I heard he was going there, and then I went to check on the website, and he was a featured guest there. And so I guess he was just kind of running the game rooms or just to promote his game or whatever, which I was like really excited to see him be a guest at a con or whatever. So I'm like really happy for him. And it's got a Kickstarter coming out or an Indiegogo for that. And I'm not sure if it's out already, but I'll find out. And but he wants to be on our podcast and talk about his game. And then I'm sure we can probably review something. So I'll figure it out.
Okay.
But that's about the only thing I know we can have planned coming up.
I want to review Psychic Wars, because that's almost as bad as this.
You know what? Let's just make him review Psychic Wars with us. we'll just make him watch Psychic. I mean, it's on YouTube, so then like we'll just be like, hey, man, watch this. Let us know what you think.
And they got the Monk Entertainment dub on there, which I watched.
Okay.
It's only like an hour long.
Okay, I'm sure you can do that. Because I figure if we're going to have a guest on here like that, like, he can promote his game, but then also, you got to talk about anime with us.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to have to go get lunch, and I got other stuff. I got to take care of my graphics card thing with Newegg, and then I got to be at my church later to help out with the Easter production. So okay. I'm going to be busy this weekend.
All right. I'll talk to you later, then.
All right. Later.
Pardon, Juno.
Welcome, Kamishiro.
That is the excavation site.
Kami no message.
I wonder where everybody is. Hmm? There's nobody around.
This is a hijack! Be quiet! I'll kill all of you!
What the hell are you doing?
クリスタルトライアングルですよ。工学研究室のレーザーを借用すればな。
レーザ
ー？よし、フレードクラスプーチン、革命ジョルカ、人にマンバパカザチェドカルチーヌ、エータスタメマミエッチ、核弾アトラチューナリズムアビルシャルバビエドゥ、ミスティーズム、ストタクエ。
Something is moving up rapidly from the bottom of the sea. It's heading for the ferry boat.
Uruk! Oh, stop it! We've got the defender boat by all means!
Kamishiro, enjoy your last peaceful night.
The target is moving to the north, across Hokkaido.
I approve to deploy the Pacific Fleet in Mozebra.
This is an emergency. We have all Hokkaido, Japan. Immediately.
Hello? I figured. I have not eaten yet. Okay, I'll be there in a little bit. I'm kind of doing something right now. Okay, so this is after you come home, right? Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm just talking to someone online, so I'll finish up this conversation and then we'll go out. All right, bye. I think she bought it. I'm not telling her I'm talking about the worst anime ever made that involves God being dead. I'm not mentioning a darn thing about that. No one needs to know.